Welcome to life with your new puppy. I am so honored that you chose a Hamilton Farm Doodles puppy. Our goal has always been to raise puppies who are comfortable with people, deeply human focused, loving, and ready to become someone's best friend, ready to become part of a family. Bringing a puppy home is exciting. It's also a little overwhelming. Puppies are wonderful, and yes, they will test you. They will choose something you forgot to move. They will wake you up at an inconvenient time. There will be moments when you think, "What was I thinking?" That doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It means you brought a puppy home. One of my favorite ways to think about this season is to imagine your puppy as an exchange student. Your puppy has just arrived from a completely different world. They don't speak your language. They don't understand your routines. They don't know what normal looks like in your home yet. They are learning a new culture, and you are learning theirs. Your job isn't to be perfect. Your job is to learn how your puppy communicates and gently teach them how life works in your home. Most people bring a dog into their family for companionship, joy, and connection. No one gets a puppy because they want more stress. So the goal here isn't to create a perfect dog, it's to build a life together. The happiest dogs are not the ones who live around their families, but the ones who are woven into their family's daily life. Walks, car rides, sitting at your feet while you fold laundry, playing with the kids in the yard. This is where dogs thrive. Building your life with your dog is one of the greatest gifts you can give them. To help you do that, I like to frame puppy ownership around 5 simple pillars: leadership, health, enrichment, socialization, and training. These 5 pillars work together. When one is weak, things feel harder. When they're strong, life with your puppy feels lighter, calmer, and more joyful. Let's begin with the first pillar. Pillar 1 is leadership. Leadership isn't about control, it's about clarity. Dogs feel safest when someone else is calmly in charge. Your puppy doesn't want to run the household, they want to understand it. They want to know what's expected. They want to know what comes next. They want to know that someone steady is guiding them. That's you. You are the leader, and that's what your dog wants. One of the most helpful things you can do is begin learning your puppy's language. Dogs communicate far more with their bodies than with sounds. They tell us how they're feeling long before they bark or misbehave. Some common signals dogs use to show us they are stressed are yawning, slow blinking, looking away, licking their lips, scratching, hiding behind someone or something. These are ways dogs say, "Let's all calm down." You can actually mirror these signals. When your puppy is wound up, instead of raising your voice, try slowing your movements, looking away briefly, or even yawning. It feels silly, but it speaks their language. Overstimulation is one of the biggest challenges for puppies. Too much noise, too much play, too many people, too many new experiences at once. When a puppy goes past what they can emotionally handle, it often shows up as zooming around the house, nipping at hands or clothes, barking or whining, inability to settle. This doesn't mean your puppy is bad, it means they're overwhelmed. Leadership is recognizing when your puppy needs help calming down and giving them structure, quiet time in a crate, a smaller space, a chew toy, or simply a break from the action. Another key part of leadership is boundaries. Dogs need consistency to feel secure. It's important that everyone in your home agrees on simple rules. Is the dog allowed on the couch? In beds? In the kitchen? Near the table during meals? There's no universally right answer, only clear ones. If one person allows something and another doesn't, your puppy becomes confused. Confusion leads to stress. Stress leads to unwanted behavior. Along with boundaries, it helps to be clear about what you want your puppy to do instead of what you don't want them to do. For example, instead of only thinking, "I don't want my dog to jump on guests," ask, "What do I want my dog to do when someone walks in?" Maybe the answer is to sit. Maybe it's to go to a mat. Maybe it's to wait calmly. Dogs do better when they know what to do, not just what not to do. Okay. Here's one of the most freeing truths about dogs. Dogs are not malicious. They are not vindictive. They are not trying to make your life harder. I know this may be hard to believe. Sometimes it seems like they intentionally want to get us frustrated, But honestly, they simply don't have the emotional or cognitive ability to think that way. When your puppy is acting in a way you don't like, it is always an honest reaction to how they're feeling or what they've learned so far. It's communication. So instead of thinking, my puppy is being bad, try shifting to, what is my puppy telling me? Behavior becomes a message. When something feels off, pause and ask a few simple questions. Is my puppy confused? Are they overstimulated? Do they need more structure? Are they tired and need rest? Is this a situation they haven't been socialized to yet? Is the environment too busy, loud, or chaotic right now? Are they bored? Do they need more enrichment or exercise? Looking at behavior this way turns problems into puzzles you solve together. It changes the tone of the relationship. You're no longer in a battle, you're a guide. You step back into leadership and say, what does my puppy need in this moment to succeed? Sometimes the answer is clearer boundaries. Sometimes it's a calmer space. Sometimes it's more practice. Sometimes it's simply rest. This mindset keeps frustration from taking over and helps you respond instead of react. It builds trust. It teaches your puppy that you are safe, steady, and predictable. And that kind of leadership creates emotionally stable dogs. Emotionally stable dogs are a joy to live with. Pillar 2, health. Health is one of the simplest ways to set your puppy up for long-term success. Your puppy will go home eating a raw diet. We start our puppies on raw because it's excellent for their systems and supports strong growth. Raw is ideal when it's prepared correctly. Raw feeding should include meat, bone, and organ in appropriate ratios. If you buy your raw dog food from the companies I suggested, they will have the appropriate amounts for a balanced diet. It is possible to prepare your own, but you would need to do your research to make sure you are preparing it correctly for long-term sustainable health. Also, raw needs to be handled safely. You shouldn't let bacteria grow on it for hours in a warm environment. You need to keep it frozen and then unthaw it in the fridge. It can sit in the fridge for a day or two unthawed before you feed it. It is a little more work than kibble, but your dog will love you for it. And when done well, it supports healthy stools, shiny coats, and optimal health. Cost-wise, raw feeding often averages about $1 to $2 a day for a growing puppy. High-quality kibble is similar in cost. The most important thing is consistency and quality. Good food does more for your dog's long-term health than any supplement ever could. Deworming. This is another important part of health. Puppies can carry parasites that cause loose stool, bloating, poor growth, and discomfort. Worms are common and treatable, but left unaddressed, they can make a puppy quite sick. If your puppy ever has ongoing diarrhea or seems off, deworming is often one of the first things to consider. We use Safeguard and Parental as part of our routine with puppies and dogs. You can check with your vet and see what they use. Often, a puppy's dewormer will be included with their heartworm medicine. For digestion, I like using dehydrated carrots, which are linked on my website. They're gentle, natural, and help firm up stool. This is especially helpful during transitions. There are also vitamins and probiotics that we recommend listed on our website. Chewing. This is both a need and a health tool. Puppies explore the world with their mouths. Providing appropriate outlets prevents them from chewing your shoes. There are many appropriate things your dog can chew. Rawhide bones, for example, can keep your puppy busy for hours. These are great as long as they stay dry and are given under supervision. Rawhide bones can cause bloat, so I would not recommend unlimited access to them. I also like marrow bones, kneecaps, antlers, femur bones for outside only, which you'll find on my site. These are natural, long-lasting chews that most dogs adore. Now for grooming. Bernedoodles need groomed about every 6 to 8 weeks. If your dog has straight or wavy hair, you can possibly go longer, but you will need to make sure that you are brushing often to keep knots away, ideally every day. You will want to have a metal comb and detangler brush to help keep a nice, knot-free coat. If your dog is curly, it will be easier for them to get knots. Behind the ears, at the collar, and the kneecap areas are where knots like to form first. I have tried my hand at grooming, and while it is very possible, the results are not always very beautiful. It really is a science, and you need to have the right tools to do a good job. A side note, if you are grooming yourself, make sure to trim between the pads of the feet. It can cause problems later on if you don't. Ask me how I know. Nails. For your dog's nails, I recommend cutting them every month or so. I have clippers listed on my website. Many times the groomer will cut nails and clean ears for you. Just check to make sure it's included in their services. Keeping nails trimmed protects joints and posture. Long nails change how a dog's foot hits the ground, and over time that affects their body. Next is ears. Bernedoodles can be especially prone to ear issues because of their floppy ears and hair growth. I use a specific ear solution linked on my website to keep ears clean and healthy. This solution not only cleans, but also helps get rid of any ear mites they might have. I recommend cleaning ears when you trim nails. If you see black gunk inside the ear, it means there's an ear mite infection. You can use the solution on my website for a few days, but if that doesn't clear it up, you may need to get a diagnosis and prescription from your vet. Now we are on to pillar three, enrichment. Enrichment is about meeting your puppy's mental and emotional needs. A bored puppy becomes a busy puppy, and busy often looks like chewing furniture, barking at nothing, digging holes, or inventing their own entertainment. Enrichment gives your puppy an outlet. One of the easiest ways to add enrichment is through feeding. These turn something your puppy already does every day, eat, into mental work. Here are some examples. Lick mats. A lick mat is usually a silicone mat with grooves in it. You spread something yummy on the mat and the dog licks it off. Great options to put on a lick mat include peanut butter, yogurt, coconut oil, a raw egg. As always, start slow with any new food. Puppy stomachs are sensitive, and introducing too many new things at once can cause tummy upset. Add one thing at a time and watch how your puppy responds. Stuffed Kongs are another wonderful tool. You can fill a Kong with raw food, yogurt, peanut butter, or a little kibble mixed with something sticky. If you freeze it, it becomes a long-lasting calming activity. These are especially helpful in crates because they build a positive association with rest time. I also have a fun option called Chili Penguins listed on my website that are essentially the same idea. It is a silicone toy with a hollowed out area inside. Puppies love to lick frozen peanut butter out of these. Treat dispensing toys like the Kong Wobbler are toys you fill with kibble. Your puppy has to nudge, roll, and push them to make food fall out. It's fun to watch, works the brain, and slows down those fast eaters. Stuff-o-mats let you hide kibble or treats in fabric strips, so your puppy has to use their nose to find the food. This taps into a natural foraging instinct. You can also scatter feed, literally tossing kibble across the floor or yard and letting your puppy hunt for it. This engages their nose and mind and costs nothing. When it comes to treats, more natural is better. Look for simple, whole ingredient options. Freeze-dried chicken liver is one of my favorite training treats. It's high value, easy to break into tiny pieces, and dogs love it. Not all enrichment comes from toys. Sometimes it's as simple as slowing down on a walk and letting your puppy sniff, exploring new surfaces like grass, gravel, sand, or snow, riding in the car with the window down, sitting on a park bench and watching the world go by, playing calm music during rest time, watching dog TV, I thought that was funny, rotating toys so they feel new again. These small moments feed your puppy's curiosity and help them feel satisfied. Dogs whose mental needs are met are calmer, more relaxed, and far less likely to create their own entertainment. Digging. Here's the thing, dogs like to dig and we don't like them to. It's messy and it ruins our yard. Digging is a natural instinct. It doesn't mean your puppy is misbehaving, it means they're being a dog. If digging becomes a problem, try redirecting it. Offer a designated digging spot. Increase mental stimulation. Provide enrichment before the behavior shows up. Social play is another form of enrichment. Bernedoodles generally love other dogs, so just be intentional. Early experiences matter. Choose friendly, gentle dogs so your puppy learns that the world is safe. As a caution, a single negative experience at a chaotic dog park can linger. It's better to skip overwhelming environments at the beginning if you are unsure about a dog's friendliness. On to pillar four, socialization. All right, socialization is not about flooding your puppy with experiences. It's about helping them form healthy emotional responses to the world. A well-socialized dog isn't one who has seen everything. It's one who feels safe when something is new. So, go slowly, let confidence grow. I like to bring them along with me to places I normally go. Again, just doing life with me. When you first take them to a new place, you may only be able to stay for a small amount of time. So the first few times, plan on going to the coffee shop, the baseball field, the store, wherever it is you're going. Go to visit, but not for a long stay. Here are some signs to watch for that signal your puppy is overwhelmed. Yawning, backing away, hiding behind you, scratching, shaking, whale eyes. Those are those big staring eyes that say, "What in the world's going on?" These are your puppy saying, "This is a little too much." When you notice these signs, create space. Slow down, step away, let your puppy regroup. I would start with simple environments, quiet walks, calm visitors, gentle dogs, familiar sounds, and then build up gradually. Try to build predictability at the beginning. When your puppy knows what to expect, they relax, and relaxed dogs learn faster. Socialization done well makes life easier. It means fewer fears, fewer reactions, and more freedom to enjoy life together. All right, on to pillar five, our last pillar, training. Training can sound scary, but it really is how you and your puppy learn to live together. It isn't about control, it's about communication. Like I said earlier, your puppy isn't planning on how to make you pay or trying to challenge you. Your puppy isn't stubborn. They simply don't know how your world works yet. Every behavior you see, good or bad, is your puppy experimenting, trying new things, and waiting to see what you do in response. In a way, training is like throwing little ideas at the wall and seeing what sticks. Your puppy is constantly asking, "Was that right?" Your job is to help them find the answer. That's why a few simple rhythms can make such a big difference in the beginning. They remove confusion and replace it with clarity. Potty first, then freedom. Small space before the whole house. Calm before play. Sitting before food or going out the door. These patterns teach your puppy how life flows in your home. They begin to understand what comes next, what's expected, and how to succeed. Okay, let's talk about potty training. For potty training, I recommend keeping the puppy close to you, either by a leash attached to both of you or in a small contained area, and take them outside often. This way they can't wander off and make a mistake. You're setting them up to get it right. The first week, you may want to use the leash and the crate a little more and just stick with those two only. Eventually, an enclosed space, like a play area that has a little more room than a crate but is not access to the whole house, will work just as well as the crate, but it does take a few days to get there. If you have to be gone for long periods of time and can't take your puppy out to go potty, I would say 5 or more hours the first month, I recommend getting a raised crate with a tray and potty pads underneath. These are all listed on my website, and though they are a bit of an investment, they give your puppy a place to go potty while inside. They naturally will go on the crate since they were raised that way. A good rule of thumb is the puppy can hold it easily for as many hours as his age in months. So if they're 2 months old, you should take them out potty about every 2 hours. Now, of course, this does not mean they only need to go potty during the day every 2 hours. There are many more times they need to be taken out to go potty. This is just for their crate time and how long you can expect them to hold it in a crate during the day. As soon as your puppy leaves his quiet area or crate, they should go potty outside. The first few times you may want to carry them so you know they're going to make it. If they're running around the house and having lots of freedom, they should go potty every 20 to 30 minutes and keep an eye on them. Better yet, attach them to you unless you're actively playing with them. After a meal or drink, they should go out in about 10 minutes, sometimes 5. Keep an eye on them. Before bed, take them out again. Puppies usually will poop when they wake up, after each meal, and before bed. Many times they will go outside and pee right away, and the owner will assume they're done, they're ready to play. If it is one of these times, after a meal, when they first wake up, or right before bed, I would just wait a little longer before going back in and give them another opportunity to go potty. I try to feed them dinner around 5 p.m. and I give them a final drink around 6. As they get older, they can have water a little later, but I stop the drinks around 6 because less water at bedtime helps them stay asleep a little longer and means less accidents. Crates. Your puppy is already familiar with sleeping in a crate, but in a new space and without their litter mates, they may whine. I have found that given a few nights, puppies start recognizing the routine and begin sleeping like champs, so don't give up too quickly. Crates are not punishment, they are dens, safe, quiet places to rest. At night, I usually cover the puppy's crate with a blanket and give them a chili penguin with frozen peanut butter to lick. I play quiet music to help them go to sleep. Also, each puppy comes home with a snuggle puppy, and there is a heartbeat and heat pad that can help them settle easier. Getting into a good nighttime routine will help everyone get more sleep sooner. Should you use a crate during the day? Puppies often struggle with what we call FOMO, the fear of missing out. Most Bernedoodles want to be in on all the action. It's just that they need some timeouts. I like to leave a crate or a play area in the main space where people are. They don't have to be in there all the time, but they do better if they have a place to go when no one can watch them. I recommend using positive associations with the crate. Every time they go in, I would give them a stuffed Kong or a rawhide, something to keep them busy. Even with my adult dogs now, they run into their crates at night because they have positive association. They get a treat every time they go into their crate. If you find your Bernedoodle is not settling in his crate when everyone's around, you can try putting him in a quiet area of the house. The fun happening outside the crate may make him restless, and he may need to settle where there is no activity. I also like to use a crate when I leave the house. It keeps the puppy out of trouble, and I know they are safe. If you will be gone for a longer period of time, I would use play gates or a blocked-off area of space in the house to contain them. Let's talk about whining. Whining is the puppy trying to communicate with you. Consistent, escalating whining usually means your puppy needs to go out. That's your cue to respond. Early morning fussing, on the other hand, is often just your puppy saying, "I'm awake." Not every sound is an emergency. But if you haven't taken your puppy out potty early in the morning yet, you better do it soon. If the whining bothers you, you can go through your checklist. Has the puppy gone potty recently? Has the puppy gotten enough exercise? Is something wrong, or is the puppy just wanting to get out? I promise, if you give it a little time, your puppy will love their nap times and bedtimes. As the puppies have grown up with us, we have imprinted them with two things. One is our call, "Puppy, puppy, puppy," that we say when we feed them. They automatically respond to that sound. You do have to do it in a little bit of a higher voice. It is a great recall for emergency situations. If your dog's running out to the road, you can say, "Puppy, puppy, puppy," and they'll come running back. If you want to keep it effective, you could practice calling, "Puppy, puppy, puppy," once a week or so, and when they come, always give them a good treat. Once the treats stop, the imprinting loses its effectiveness. Never use this recall without a treat. Also, it is not the same as come. I would teach come separately. Another word we use is yes. If you have heard about clicker training before, you know that the trainer uses a clicker to mark whenever the dog does what they want. The clicker works because the dog always gets a treat when he hears the click. This way, he knows he is doing the behavior right. I love clickers, but I find I never have one on me when needed. I prefer using the marker word yes instead. When the puppies try new things or sit to be pet, we say yes. This word is familiar, but not as deeply imprinted as the "puppy, puppy, puppy" call, so you will need to practice it and make sure to give a treat whenever you say yes. When training, I would make sure to never give attention to a dog that jumps on you. One of the best first things you can teach your dog is called manding, or sitting for attention. This is one of those habits that helps with all the other good habits. Make sure your dog sits before he gets pets or attention, and better yet, say yes when he sits and give him a treat. It is no fun to have a bigger dog or a muddy dog jump on you or on your guests. This is a little harder to teach children, so just be consistent. Try to encourage them to not give any attention to a dog that jumps on them. I have included some videos below to give some guidance on areas I feel would be important for a Bernedoodle. Manding, sitting, stay, leash training, come, and go to bed. You don't need to have a perfect puppy. You just want your life and puppy to mesh well and run smoothly together. In all of the habits and routines you do or don't create, you're teaching them what you expect. I highly recommend taking your puppy to a puppy class and learning some basic behaviors. Not only is it good for training, but it also gives your puppy some much needed socialization. And a lot of times it does help train you as well. Your puppy should not go to public places like a dog park before they finish their shot series. This is usually around 12 to 14 weeks. If you go to the store or vet, I recommend carrying them and keeping their paws off the ground. I have also had many clients who go through the beginner course of Baxter and Bella training with great success. Baxter and Bella are our training partners and they are listed on our website. I will also include a link with a discount code below so you can look into it. Whatever you decide, just make sure you have a plan in place. It really pays off and you will be thankful you did. When our first Bernedoodle, Sophie, came to live with us, I was intent on training her well. She came to us at 8 weeks and she was our only dog at the time. So of course, I had lots of time to invest in her. I think in the training process, I actually trained myself much more than I trained her. She still has habits to this day that I taught her when she was young that I even forgot I taught her, like waiting at an open door until I tell her, go. At times, this habit can be annoying when I want her to hurry up so I can shut the door, but I can always count on her to have good manners and wait for directions. This is the power of training for a young puppy. It sticks with them. I have heard before that anything you teach a dog before 12 weeks gets 100% of the value and effort you put in. After 12 weeks, it slowly starts decreasing until you have a 10-year-old dog that you only get 10% back for all your effort. Yes, you can teach an old dog new tricks, but it is a whole lot harder. The good news is we have done a lot of subtle training already with the puppies. Things like wanting to be near their person because people give food and love and snuggles, praising them for trying new things, teaching them to go potty in a specific area, and sleeping in a crate. So these guys have a solid foundation. I know life is so busy, but I want to encourage you to try and make some basic training a priority now. Instead of making it a priority when you have a troubled teenage dog and it's now an emergency. With good routines and habits, you will already be on the road to success. Each family's expectations for their puppy are different, and that's okay. If this is a first-time dog for your family, you will probably be training yourself more than you are training your dog. That was me, and you've got this. All the links provided on this email are also linked to our website on a designated webpage called Puppy Guide. So if you want to review the info, you can always find it. It is a living document, so info and resources will be added as we all learn together. As always, if you have any issues, please let me know. We can work together to figure something out. It also helps me improve my program as your struggles tell me where my breeding program needs some improvement. Thank you again for choosing a Hamilton Farm Doodle puppy. I feel so blessed that I am able to work with wonderful, loving dog owners like yourself.